Protection is a burning issue for all travelers. Some people won't go out the door of their own home without a knife in their pocket. Some people carry a handgun. Some people, when they travel, make sure that they have all their confirmation codes to guarantee all their stays at their hotels. When we traveled when the kids were young, we had one of those programs that offered discounts on hotels and different places to stay. It also gave us help with flat tires, and our number one issue was locking the keys in the car, and provided assistance that way, gave us some kind of protection. But no matter what protection we come up with this in this world, there is nothing that can take care of us day and night. In fact, everything that we had only gave us protection after things went wrong. We didn't have anything to prevent things from going on. I guess that was supposed to be me as the guy driving the vehicle. But today, we have the privilege of looking at Psalm 121, and what we see here is a song that has been written for all travelers to remind us of the protection that we have. We get to look into the heart of God to remind us that He is our protector, that He is our helper, that He is the one who guides us and who looks out for us and cares for us. Psalm 121 is one of the 15 songs of ascent. This is what the pilgrims would sing. This was their playlist as they would head to Jerusalem three times a year from all over Israel. And of course, Jerusalem sat up in the mountains, and so as they ascended up to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs. And these songs represent songs for the journey. And I think they fit well, not only the journey to Jerusalem for the pilgrim, the faithful of God, back in the first 10 centuries B.C., but also for us today on our life journey. This psalm is so powerful that many Jews repeat it today, or repeat verses 5 and 8 when they head out the door just to go somewhere, because they want that reminder. They want that calling out to God for His help. So what is our life journey? We talk about that all the time, right? Well, we know that God has laid out a course for you and me to become like Jesus. That's the course of our life. The writer of Hebrews mentions that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That course is unique to each one of us, but the destination is the same. We are all on our way to becoming more like Jesus, taking on His character, living out His actions, speaking His grace and His truth with our words, because the Holy Spirit is transforming us from the inside out to be more like Him. That is our life journey. And so as we look at these songs, specifically Psalm 121, we have not only a song of ascent, a song for the journey of the pilgrim going to Jerusalem, we also have a song for our life journey. And we are in the midst of this COVID-19 season. We still don't know where that's going, right? It's just full of uncertainty. Economy, jobs, all of life is disrupted. We know that. So that has become part of our journey. We need a helper in the midst of that journey. As I mentioned earlier, we are in the midst of a growing turmoil in our own country. And that affects all of us in different ways. And it affects our country in huge ways. And that has been inserted into our journey. We need a helper. We need a protector. We need a guide. We need somebody who watches over us. And that is the Lord God. The psalmist is going to be very clear about that in Psalm 121. So if you want to turn there, if you're not there already, we want to look at who do we turn to when life is filled with uncertainty, when we're in pain, when we're in distress, when we're experiencing fear or anxiety, when we are rejoicing. Where do we turn? Well, in today's psalm, we find the hope of protection on this journey. We find that there is a guide who walks with us. There are eight verses they set up in four pairings where they basically repeat the thought of each other. You know that one verse in Psalms of poetry is typically repetitive of two lines, each repetitive of each other. Here we have four lines repetitive of each other, repeating the same thought. The first thing we're going to see in verses 1 and 2 is that the sovereign Lord is our protector. We turn to the maker of heaven and earth. The successful journey to Jerusalem represents the entirety of our lives in which the faithful can be confident of God's tireless care. This represents our pilgrimage to glory, to that day when we shall see him face to face and we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Here's what the psalmist writes, and we don't know who wrote this, in verse 1. He says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? The key question of verse 1 arises out of great need. He is on the journey. He is heading into the mountains. Jerusalem sits up in the mountains of Judah, and so he is on his way up, and the mountains represent danger. They represent trouble. Mountains tire us out physically, right? They strain our legs, our muscles. They strain our lungs. In that day and age, they certainly represented danger from robbers, from those who would hide out in the hills and come and take advantage of the travelers, the pilgrims that they knew would be passing through at this time. And so there was already an underlying anxiety as you took this trip. The Israelites had natural fears when they reached the mountains, and they said, from where shall my help come? We're not in the mountains, but we all ask this question, right? I mean, we all have issues in our own lives that are bigger than we are, that strain our emotions and become extremely burdensome mentally, that wear us out spiritually. And so we ask the question, from where is my help? Am I alone on this journey? When will things straighten out for me? How is it going to be resolved? And our problem is that sometimes we look to the mountains instead of looking beyond the mountains. Just like the traveler would be tempted to look ahead at the next stretch of road and say, is that pretty safe? Are there any places where anyone could jump out at us? We do that sometimes, don't we? We're in economic troubles, and we hope that a stimulus check is going to bail us out. We need jobs. We need better jobs, and we hope that that better job is just right around the corner. If we're a student, we hope that we get that better teacher that makes class more interesting or understandable or lets us thrive in it. Everything that we do in life, we're always looking for something better. And the negative way to say that would be we're always looking for a way out. We're looking at the mountains around us, and we need to look beyond the mountains to our help. We need to look beyond creation to the Creator. And so that's what he does in verse 2. He says to us, my help comes from the Lord. There's the declaration that we need. My help comes from the Lord. That's an incredible phrase to memorize. It's a great one just to meditate on, to pray through in the middle of the night when you can't get to sleep. To pray through when you've got mounting pressure from decisions to make. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the Lord who is sovereign over everything. It's a declaration that is worth saying because God, the Creator, reminds us of our sovereign God. I like what Jeremiah said in chapter 10, verse 12. He points out some of the characteristics of what it means to be Creator God. He says, but the Lord is the true God. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. So when we think about Creator God, we can think about the God who is powerful, who is wise, whose understanding is inscrutable. That type of praise lifts our hearts. That type of truth, eternal truth, allows us to see our way through the difficulties and the hardship of the day. When we proclaim, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." We sang an Andrew Peterson song last week. One of the phrases that is sung out and we reply to, he sings, "Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?" And we sing, "It is." Now, this is not that same truth that he was applying to, but I think that's what the psalmist is saying here. I think that's why he put it in this song, so that they would sing it on all these trips. It is good that we remind ourselves of this, that our help comes from the Lord, that he is our protector, that he is our guide. The sovereign Lord is our protector. In verses 3 through 8 now, we see that the sovereign Lord watches over our journey. And what we get here are divine promises that kind of answer the question, well, why would we trust him? We know he's creator, we know that he's powerful and wise and has all understanding. But we need a little more. We need something a little more relatable. The psalmist made that divine proclamation, "My help comes from the Lord," and now he gives divine promises, at least three here in verses 3 through 8. They're promises to give us a full assurance of the manner in which God is going to look after us and the manner in which God is going to care for us and protect us, the manner in which he will keep us on the journey. And what we have here in verses 3 through 8, we have a change from the first person, verses 1 and 2, to the second person. And so what you can picture here is maybe a parent saying these truths to his or her child. Maybe this is the priest saying these to the worshiper. Maybe these verses were sung antiphonally, where one was called out and the reply was given from another side. We don't know exactly, but that's the context, that's the image that we are given as we read these verses. And these are God's promises for our hardship in the journey. First thing we see in verses 3 and 4, that we are assured of God's vigilance, that he is ever watchful, that he cares for us. Every phrase in the psalm is designed to increase confidence in God, our confidence, by pointing out this truth. God is with you step by step. He will protect you because he never turns away from you. So this is what we read in verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Note first the reminder that he is the keeper of Israel. Why would the psalmist insert that? Well, because it is good to remember. And what does it remind them of when he says he is the keeper of Israel? Well, first and foremost, there are all kinds of stories that they can think back to God's protection, of course. But first and foremost, they go back to Egypt. They think of the slavery. They think of no way out. And they think of the redemption that God brought them through the blood of the Lamb, that he delivered them. They think of the Red Sea. They think of how he was with them every step in the wilderness. Perhaps they remember their headstrongness. I don't know if that's a word, but their rebellion. But they remember that God was with them. And so they remind themselves of this truth, that he is the keeper of Israel, who cares for them. He never ignored them. He never disregarded their distress. He was always out in front of them because he knew their needs. The God who protects us is ever vigilant. He who keeps us will never slumber or sleep. Now, of course, in their context, that's a slap at the pagan deities, right? That's a reminder of Elijah and his conflict with 450 prophets of Baal. Remember on the mountain, they had a little competition there, and the God of Baal was not showing up. And so Elijah began to mock them. And he said, well, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God's on the toilet. Because man-made gods have man-made problems. That God never did show up, that false God of Baal. But Elijah's God did, and he consumed not only the sacrifice on the altar, but the altar itself, all the stones and the water that had been poured over it. He is all-powerful. He is aware of your steps. And so you can see how all along the way through this passage, the psalmist has inserted little words that would remind them of great truths about their God. We can be certain of his vigilance because our God is not only the keeper of Israel, he is the keeper of you and me. Now, is that a truth that you simply take for granted, that you're aware of and you know? Or is it one that you really cling to? Because there's a huge difference between the two. If you cling to that truth when you go to the Lord in prayer, then your trust is deeper. And you are more reliant on him, and you are more ready to lean on him because, again, you have reminded yourself of the character of our powerful God who walks with us step by step. Not only is God ever vigilant of our needs, but we are assured of his watch care in verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, watch care is a term that basically speaks of the providence of God. We are reminded that he protects us, that he is involved in all of our lives. It's easier for us to look back and see the fingerprints of God all throughout everything we've dealt with, triumph and tragedy. But we're called to trust as we look forward to what God is doing and what he will do as his watch care continues. He is ever vigilant. He cannot forget you. He is preoccupied with you and your issues. He is your keeper, and that's what is stated clearly. The main thrust of the psalm right here in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. This word keeper is used 6 times, either the noun or the verb, in these 6 verses here at the end of the psalm. Again, we are reminded that he is our protector. Note the phrase, he is the shade on your right hand. It's a poetic way of saying this is how close he is, that he can shade you. It's also a way of saying that when he is in your life, he is bringing refreshment to you. His presence is soothing. If you ever memorized Philippians 4, 6, and 7 and repeated that to yourself, you know the truth of the power of God's presence because Jesus promises when we rely on him in the midst of anxiety to guard our hearts and our minds, to guard our thoughts and our emotions with his presence. That's what he's saying here. He is the shade. He is present, and his presence is always refreshing. In verse 6, we see how often he applies this. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The psalmist employs a favorite Hebrew way of talking about totality. He brings together two extremes, the sun and the moon, the day and the night, to show that this is the totality of God's care. These are the opposite ends of the spectrum, and God is there, and he is everywhere in between. God is present day and night, whether the sun or the moon is up. He is your protector. He is present to help with every problem in life. Now, God's word does not say that his people will not have problems. Paul makes it clear that the life of the believer is full of hardship, full of difficulty, the way we view life and the way we'd like to see God take care of our life and smooth it out before us. Paul taught that truth. He modeled that truth. But we do have promises that God is with us through the difficulty. And we do have his promise that he will resolve all hardship for our good and for his glory. Romans chapter 8, you know the passage well, has a string of promises that he will work everything together for good, that he will conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Remember, we're on this journey becoming more like Jesus. And so we've got that promise that even in the midst of difficulties and hardships. He is working for our good. And then verses 31 to 34, we're reminded that in multiple ways that he is for us. And God is not against us. He is not setting up barriers or obstacles. He is for us. He is taking us through them. And then in verse 37 to 39, of course, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. We have great promises that God is with us, that he is for us, that he is resolving everything for our good and for his glory. We have complete assurance and full certainty that he is our helper. That he is giving watch care over us. Well, not only is God actively involved in your life, we are assured of his faithfulness. The psalmist moves from preoccupation with immediate needs of the day to the whole of our existence. You can be certain that God is faithful to continue the work that he began in you. We have that promise in Philippians 1:6. The psalmist makes that clear in his song here in verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Now, how can he include those words, all evil, when we can't even protect ourselves from our own evil or from those around us? We seem to suffer so much. Well, one commentator compares this verse to Jesus' promise in Luke 21. He says this, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. Great promise, isn't it? And they will put some of you to death, yet not a hair of your head will perish. How can he say you're going to be betrayed, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hurt, but not a hair of your head shall perish? Well, Jesus gives us some perspective elsewhere in Matthew 11. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. He is talking about life that is eternal here. Evil can and will harm us in this life. But it can only do so much harm. Satan can make months or years or even decades miserable for us if God allows. But his leash is short and eternity is long. Our flesh, our relationships, our feelings are painfully vulnerable. I like how one man said that, painfully vulnerable for now. But our souls are perfectly safe in the hands of our God. That's the life that matters most. He will keep your soul. He will keep your life. The most satisfying and meaningful life, the one that lasts forever. We are never promised freedom from evil, but God does promise to keep us from the evil that can destroy our souls. He will bring us to the point of stepping on heaven's shore. The Lord never promises a comfy life, a well-cushioned life, but he does promise a well-armed life. We journey through this life in the presence of God. God is for you, and therefore no harm, no evil can take away your life in him. No permanent harm can befall the believer of Christ. You can trust God's providential care because he watches over your every step. We are vulnerable on this journey, and we need the keeping of the Lord. I want you to think about Aaron's blessing with me for just a moment. Numbers chapter 6. Just think about the first phrase, the Lord will bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If that just seems like watered down liturgy, or has become mindless repetition for you, then you may need to recalibrate and think seriously about God keeping you, about calling out for that type of blessing in your life. Because we are vulnerable in this life. We so often think that we have to be strong and push through everything, but we are given this privilege to call on the Lord as our helper. We don't want to become callous toward the need for God. But if you do feel your need for keeping, if you feel your weakness, acknowledge your concerns and wonder if you will make it home, then take heart. Jesus knew that was coming. In John 17, he prayed. He prayed many things for his followers. He prayed many things for us in this chain of grace. One of the things he said was, Father, keep them. Father, keep them. Be their keeper. So when we look to the Father, we're looking to the same God that these pilgrims on the path to Jerusalem look to. Isn't that glorious? That's why we can sing so beautifully and richly and loudly, Your grace is enough. Because His grace is with us every step of the way. God is for you and is keeping your imperishable inheritance for you. So as you walk with Him, wherever He calls you to go, no matter how hard the journey feels and no matter what fears emerge along the way, meditate on God's truth. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And as you walk, you might repeat these words, this biblical eternal truth. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. God is your God. He is your helper. Be assured that He is ever vigilant, watching you. He is ever actively involved in your life, and He is fully faithful to see you through to glory. Let's pray.